are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
One down, 45 to go. The Blues have kick-started their new league campaign with a board draw at home to Shrewsbury Town. But despite the underwhelming result, there were some signs of promise, though Kenny Jackett's men will need to dust off a few cobwebs if they truly want to consider themselves as promotion contenders.
Corner to defend, whipped in this one towards the near post, flicked on, loose in the area, danger! Great save, McGilvery! Work to do, headed off the line, and Raggett completes the clearance.
Pompey maintaining their impressive home record in League One with thanks to the heroics of Craig McGilvery late in the game. Throughout the course of the show this evening, we'd love to hear from you back home as well. What sort of lineup would you like to see on Thursday night when Pompey travel to Brighton in the Carabao Cup? And how do you think the Blues will get on in that game? We'd love to know your score predictions. You can text your name and message, starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Use at expressfm your tweets. Or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We also have news of a brand new signing at PO4. Stick around to hear who joined the Blues on a 2-year contract just over an hour ago. On FM, DAB, online and through your smart speaker, a very warm welcome to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very, very good evening as ever and welcome to the Football Hour on Express FM, which is being driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South, who are providing safe and efficient services to ensure you get to where you need to be during these difficult times. Find out more information on timetables and the latest COVID-19 guidelines by visiting stagecoach.co.uk. So, Pompey finally got their new League One campaign underway at the weekend. Kenny Jackett's side welcomed Shrewsbury Town to Fratton Park for the season curtain raiser. And we're going to waste no time in revisiting that game tonight. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham have you covered for this one.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Well, good afternoon. The opening match of a new league season would usually bring a huge buzz to the whole city of Portsmouth. Not today. Traffic was light and Fratton Park is, of course, empty. It already feels like the strangest of seasons and it's only just beginning. But for all the odd circumstances, there is still the usual optimism you'd find with Pompey yet again, one of the favourites for the League One title after two campaigns which ended in agonising playoff defeat. Not a good pass to Morris, but Morris does well to make something of it. Shoots from distance, straight at the goalkeeper. Fumbled. Marquis won't get on the second ball though. Asaki gathers it at the second attempt, almost on the edge of his own penalty area. 0-0. Right footed outswinger to come from Wally towards the edge of the 6-yard box. Header on goal, off the post, loose in the penalty area. And it's put horribly wide by Ebanks Lendell. It was a difficult chance, but very much a centre-half finish in the 6-yard box, and Pompey get away with one. Marquis is onside, and Marquis is carelessly pushed over, and there's a free kick. He's going to go Portsmouth's way, and Marquis is going to say Pierre should be sent off for that. Evans stood on the ball. He's going to stand away. Curtis steps up. The two look at each other, and now Brown is going to hit it, and Brown curls it just wide of the post. Inches away from the opener. Still 0-0. And Marquis, right corner of the penalty area, tries to chip it over the goalkeeper and he's put it wide. Inventive. Was asking a lot from there and it's a goal kick. Raggett nods it down. Cannon trying to get into the area. Watmore's effort. It's saved by Sarkic. This time Marquis was lurking and the goalkeeper grabbed it. And now Ryan Williams is trying to lead a breakout and Pompey have a counter-attack. It's 2-on-2. It's Curtis and Cannon. And Cannon stayed onside. And Cannon's into the penalty area. Back on his right foot. Cannon needs to get the shot away. Cannon, too many people back. Cannon tries a square ball. It's taken away from Naylor. Lots of white shirts flooding back. and Shrewsbury have dodged a bullet there. Corner to defend, whipped in this one towards the near post, flicked on, loose in the area, danger, great save McGilvery, work to do, headed off the line, and Raggett completes the clearance. Here he comes, lipped into Naylor's header off the bar and over. That's as close as Portsmouth have come all game, still 0-0. Shrewsbury make a complete mess of defending, and Aaron Pierre
is off,
and he's committed a horrible foul on John Marquis, and it is finished inside Fratton Park. Portsmouth 0, Shrewsbury 0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
Those there, the highlights of the drab 0-0 draw between the Blues and the Shrews on Saturday afternoon. OK, time now to bring in my two guests for this evening's show. First of all, a welcome back to Mr. Ivan Prothero. Ivan, are you there? Can you still hear me?
Hello, mate. Can you hear me?
Absolutely brilliant. Phenomenal, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not quite the outcome we were hoping for on Saturday in terms of a result, Ivan, but plenty of time to make things right, you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. It's disappointing not to get a win, especially a team against like Shrewsbury. We would have hoped to have won, but there are positives to take from it, I feel.
Yeah. Okay. And also joining us on the phone line, Alex Fletcher. Alex, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jack. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure to have you both on the show. What did you make of the performance of the weekend then, Alex?
I fell asleep halfway through, to be honest with you. It was quite drab, but like you say, it is the first game, and especially with the weird way the season's gone, it certainly hasn't exactly been a normal of pre-season, so I don't think you could expect too much. No. I think maybe this is kind of part of what we're going to have to get used to without the fans in many respects.
Yeah. One of the highlighted points from the game, Ivan, was really the fact that John Marquis, who we all know he's a prolific goal scorer, but he still looks so isolated up front. He looks like a shadow of his former self. Could this be down to the tactics of the manager or even the formation being played? What do you pinpoint that down to?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, actually, because about an hour ago, if you asked me, I'd be a lot more doom and gloom. But I feel like now, with the new number 10 in, I'm hoping, as I'm sure every Pompey fan is, that our luck may have changed there now.
If you haven't heard the news, as Ivan's just pointed out there, Pompey, just over an hour ago, around about 5 o'clock this evening, have signed midfielder Michael Jacobs. He's 28 years old. He previously played for Wigan Athletic. He left them at the end of last season and was a free agent. He'll wear the number 24 shirt at Fratton Park, like I say. A two-year contract with an option for a further 12 months for an attacking midfielder who, as again, like Ivan said, will be expected to play in that number 10 role. And Alex, it's a pretty decent signing, that one.
It certainly is. I think it's the sort of signing that a lot of fans were crying out for in many respects. We've made a couple of like fullbacks and brought them in, and that's fine, but this is the sort of signing that really does get fans excited. Perhaps, you know, similar to when we signed John Marquis, I think it's the sort of signing that you do get fans getting excited about. They want to see what he's going to bring to the table. I think also the extra bit of excitement is not really know where he's going to play at the moment. I think the majority of Pompey fans would like him to play, in behind Marquis. Like Ivan said, it would be good to get him that bit of service so he doesn't feel so isolated anymore. But you've got to judge him on his play, even if it's a signing that isn't exciting. You judge him when he plays, and I think that's what we'll just have to wait and see. And hopefully we see him on Thursday, if not Sunday.
Yeah, I must admit, lads, you know, the whole show tonight was kind of based around Dupont. Well, I say Dupont, we need another new number 10. It was obvious that was needed, but the whole idea behind the show was kind of looking at, if we weren't to sign that player in that position, then what do we do to try and support John Marquis and ensure that he starts firing again? But Ivan, we have signed Michael Jacobs, and that completely changes the whole course of the show. But, you know, that's nothing but a positive. This is what Pompey fans have been crying out for, and not just for the last few weeks. We've wanted this for quite a few seasons now.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm so happy, as every Pompey fan will be. I'm not too happy the fact my notes are about to be changed last minute.
Neither am I. Don't worry.
it's hugely important. We've been crying out for a number 10 that can help John up front for a long while now, as you just alluded to. And, you know, the formation, I feel, at times hasn't suited him. To play a 4-2-3-1, as you said, he can get isolated so much up there. But if Jacobs can find him a lot more, I'm hoping that's a new start for us, really.
Yeah. And it's no criticism to John Marquis himself, is it, Alex? Because, like we say, Pompey fans, they know what he's capable of. Pompey fans respect him for his effort that he puts on the pitch. We know that he likes to drag up wide to try and receive the ball and make things himself. He drops back into that number 10 role himself to try and create things for himself. What he's needed is the right support around him to play him in and play that final ball through to him, for him just to be on the end of it and just poke it into the back of the net instead of making him do all the hard work himself. And we've got that now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you could see it even the last two games, even in the Checker Trade game, which was a decent performance, I thought. You did see him not being in the space where you wanted to be. You didn't see him arriving late into that position to tap it into the back post or coming across the front post. And I think a lot of that is because he's, like you say, he's having to drop back. He's having to kind of cover a position that isn't really there a lot of the time. I mean, we've seen Cannon play there. We've seen Evans play there, Harness. But none of them have really been that natural number 10 that works with Marquess. And I think when you've got a player that the amount of goals he scored for Doncaster, you've got to kind of build a team, or at least build an attack around that strike force. And I think hopefully now we've got that.
Yeah. Jeff Harris, after the game on Saturday, says, new season, but still the same lacklustre intent. Lack of creativity. No one took the game by the scruff of the neck. But it's the first game of the season and it can only get better from here, can't it? Well, yes, Jeff, it can, because we've signed Michael Jacobs, which means we're going up and there's just no doubt about it now. But, you know, in reality, lads, it's still going to be a long season. We know that. It's still going to be difficult and we know there's going to be tough times ahead. The signing of Michael Jacobs, Ivan, though we are hugely positive and we are so looking forward to him, you know, first pulling on that Pompey shirt in a few days' time, does that completely solve the problems that Pompey have?
No, it doesn't. Simply for a number of reasons. First of all, he's almost the pressure that he's got on now from such a lacklustre performance and the negativity that's been around the club. He's got to hit the ground running pretty much immediately. Also, we've got, for me, pointing out the two places in our squad, we still, I would argue, need at least another centre-back and probably a central midfielder to cover Naylor and Morris and Close.
Yeah.
So there are certainly areas we can improve on going forward.
One name I do want to mention, Alex, from Saturday's game is Lee Brown, who he has his critics at Fratton Park. And we all know that the signing of Cameron Pring was really expected to have an effect on Lee Brown and to create a battle for that left-back position. Kenny stuck with his guns and, you know, kept Lee Brown at left-back on Saturday, which, to the disappointment of many Pompey fans, you know, he made that decision. But I think it's fair to say that he repaid his faith in the manager and put in a pretty decent shift.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there were too many players that stood out on Saturday. I think perhaps you'd have to look at perhaps the goalkeeper, Jack Watmore, and also, as you mentioned, Lee Brown. I thought he had a couple of free kicks, were unlucky not to quite nick it in on especially on the second one where he nearly chipped the keeper. Mm. I think what he does bring is he does bring that bit of leadership at the back, and he does bring a good work ethic. He plays well with Curtis, and like you say, if he's able to kick on with that bit of pressure, that bit of competition from Pring, that can only be positive. But I think sometimes the criticism is right at times, but I do think sometimes it's unfair, and I think that's the nature of football fans. Everyone's got an opinion, haven't they? So, you know, it's just, as long as he keeps doing what he knows is best as an experienced player, I think he'll do fine.
In regards to that left-back position for the rest of the season then, Ivan, of course, Lee Brown, Cameron Pring will be battling each other to assert themselves as Kenny's number one option there. How do you see that one unfolding? Do you kind of feel that with the addition of Cameron Pring, I know we said it last season with Steve Seddon, but it could try and help improve Lee Brown and make him think, or make him realise that actually he's got some hard work to do now to show the manager that he is the one to pick for on a match day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, as you just said there, there's nothing wrong with having a player to push him on and, you know, try and take his position. He's, you know, As a captain as well, he has got qualities that aren't just defensively. But so his free kicks as well that he put in against Shrewsbury, I mean, some of them were fantastic. So, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting battle going forward for that left-back role. But I think it's quite exciting, to be honest.
Mm. And switching across the back four to the right-back, Alex, Callum Johnson, who on Tuesday night made his debut against Colchester, I thought was probably one of the standout performers of that game. Played against Saturday, of course, and OK, like you say, you mentioned a moment ago, there weren't really too many standout names from that match against Shrewsbury, but Callum Johnson, a player who he's showing signs of promise, and I feel like he's fitting into that right back role quite well.
He certainly is. I think considering he went into that game against Colchester having only signed, well, I mean, what, a few days previous, it wasn't that long a turnaround, didn't really have much pre-season, went straight into the starting lineup, performed brilliantly. Saturday, again, kind of matched the overall team performance, just a bit lackluster, but did show those signs of promise, showed that he's good at making overlapping runs. He's good at, certainly just running at the wingers, running at the fullbacks on that side, getting up and, you know, making an overlapping position. And if we're not going to get creativity through midfield, which obviously I hope we do now with our new signing, but if you're not going to bring that through midfield, you have to come from the wide areas. And I think he could be a really good asset. I mean, everybody at Accrington talks highly of him, and even on the basis of those two performances, you can see why.
Jack Hancock on Twitter says, "We were so devoid of creativity on Saturday, so to see us make a coup of a signing will really liven up our team. Hope you're well." And Up the Blues, says Jack. Thank you, Jack. Hope you're well too, mate. Up the Blues, of course. Just reading through the club statement on Michael Jacobs again, Ivan, and just pointed out, again, this is something that came so much of a surprise to us over an hour ago. He was signed by Jack initially on loan at Wolves, and he helped them to guide Wolves to the League One title with a record points tally of 103 points. And, you know, he's got that CV, as does Kenny Jackett, of performing well in this league and returning quite a decent points tally. I say quite a decent points tally. It's 103 points. That's more than quite decent, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, this is the strange thing, though, because and a lot of us have been crying out for, you know, a bit more of a, let's say, an attacking formation or maybe a bit more positive football being played. But we all know he's not going to change the formation there. Like, that's probably as red for the rest of the season. Yep. We will stick to this. So if he can get the right people in and the right service to Marquis up front, I mean, that's only got to be a positive. Yep. Like you said, he's got the track record for it. Let's just hope they can both deliver.
Yeah. And that was another one of my questions that I had lined up for tonight's show, Alex. Does Kenny Jackett need to change things up, change the formation a little bit, maybe play 4-4-2, allow John Marquis to feed off of another striker up top? However, of course, Michael Jacobs, that looks even more unlikely now. But it was something that he had tried out previously, and that was, I guess, as a result of fans crying out that it was needed, and I think that was fair enough as well. But even that didn't really work out when Matt was played 4-4-2.
No, I think if you gave the majority of Pompey fans the choice right now whether or not you'd stick with the formation he plays at the moment, or go to a 4-4-2, I think the majority would change to that 4-4-2. But I think, as Ivan says, it is taken as given he won't change the formation. So what needs to change then is the personnel. So I mean, you've got the hope of the new signing. It's so tough to predict at the moment. Obviously, like you say, it's been very, very quick this evening until we see him play. He tried it last season. He tried playing Harrison or Marquis in behind one another or whatever. So it is going to have to be the personnel. You do need that creativity. You do need to play a bit more on the floor. You need to get the ball down, pass it through, and find those gaps in the defence that Marquis can exploit. And if that's, it's going to have to come through personnel. Like I say, it's not going to come through formation. So hopefully it's a bit of positivity. And like I say, there's no guarantee 4-4-2 works either. So no. It's a manager's call, really. And he's the manager and he's paid to do that.
Gents, thank you. It's time to move on now. I'll be back to speak to you both very shortly. We're going to be heading for a quick break now, so why not pick up the phone, have your say on anything Pompey related. The three of us will do our best to read out your thoughts from back home between now and 7 o'clock. To get in touch, either text for word express to 81400 followed by your name and message. Email pompey@expressfm.com. You can tweet us at expressfm or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We'll be back in just a few minutes for more of the Pompey discussion and to continue analysing the weekend's League One opener. So don't go anywhere and keep it Express FM for the continuation of the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome back to the Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now on either the Apple app and Google Play Store to plan your next journey. I'd like to speak on behalf of myself, Ivan, Alex, everyone here at Express FM in sending our thoughts, our best wishes to the Havant Waterlooville youth player Josh Myroy and his family, of course, after he collapsed on Sunday afternoon. He had a heart attack whilst playing football with his friends. So yeah, once again, our thoughts are with you, Josh, and your family and your friends, of course. We are all, you know, really hoping that you can pull through and, yeah, and come out with stronger of that one, mate. So, yeah, strong recovery, mate. We are really rooting for you. Yeah, so Ivan, looking back at Saturday then, Pompey 0-0 at Shrewsbury, and you know, we mentioned in the first part how there are 45 more games to go, there are plenty of more points up for grabs. It's not the end of the world, but you kind of feel that after the last few seasons under Kenny Jackett and what has unfolded, it did sort of feel like nothing had changed.
I mean, aside from the Jacob signing today, which is, I feel, the kind of positivity the club needed right now. Yeah. It was kind of in keeping with how we've kind of all felt after the playoff final. It's a kind of difficult one, isn't it? Because in the few years we've been under Jackett now, it has felt like we've almost regressed a little bit. I mean, I remember when we were top of the league in Christmas, was it 2018?
Yes.
And then, you know, we're back down here now. And So I think there are naturally people that are quite disappointed with it, but as you said, there's so many more games to go in there, and there really are some positives to take going forward.
And Alex, of course, you know, we mentioned the signing of Michael Jacobs. You kind of feel that Marcus Harness playing on the right hand side, that's where his position is predominantly going to be for the rest of the campaign, then with Michael Jacobs in that number 10 role, Ronan Curtis on the left hand side, provides a little bit of added competition now for Ryan Williams, who we'll be struggling, I imagine, to get in the squad if Marcus Harness can keep up his form.
Yeah, very much so. And I think the fact that we've also signed Jacobs, who's very, very versatile in all the attacking positions from what I can hear from other fans, it provides competition for Curtis as well. I mean, you've got two natural right-wingers in Williams and Harness. You've got the two strikers. You've got players like Cannon and Evans who can play in behind. You've got natural competition all over the attacking front four now. It just has to be... He just has to get it right now, Kenny Jackett. And I think people are kind of viewing the season as that this is kind of, a lot of fans think this is kind of his last chance, to get promoted. And I think when you do sign versatile players, you are expected to use them to the best of their ability, because you see them in training every week. You see a lot more than what fans do. I think you're right. Harness will play on the right, Curtis off the left. I do still think there's competition up front, and I do still think there's competition in behind the striker. But Jacobs coming in provides a bit of motivation for the other players to just kick on and just give that extra 1% in training if they want to play on a Saturday.
Yeah. Ivan, Alex mentioned a good point there about Kenny Jackett and how this may be his last chance as Pompey manager to send the Blues up to the Championship. It's what now, the third attempt at doing so? And you kind of feel that maybe at the end of the season, if it hasn't happened, if Pompey, maybe if they do exit at the semi-final stage of the playoffs again, if they don't even make the playoffs, if we don't get promoted, could that really spell an end of his tenure at the club?
Yeah, I think it's a very, very realistic possibility. But then, we don't really know what the owners are thinking either as well. You know, financially as well, they said in the statement that, you know, things are going well off-field, certainly, as well. But no, you're absolutely right. The pressure's on him this season, and I think he knows that. But maybe, again, let's just try and desperately find some positives here.
Yeah.
Maybe at Fratton Park, the fact that the fans aren't there. Yeah, OK, so there are no negatives in the fact the atmosphere isn't as good and to drive the players on. But in times of when there is negativity, maybe that might benefit us going forward. Who knows?
It's a point we made on Saturday as well, Ivan. It's a very good point about the impact of the fans, or perhaps the lack thereof, at Fratton Park this season, Alex. And as I've mentioned, do you kind of feel that when things aren't going Pompey's way during a match, either at Fratton Park or away from home, it could work out for the better not having fans there to kind of, you know, to get on their back and to create that little bit of a sour atmosphere? And, you know, hey, you know, Pompey fans, they are one of the best in the country, if not the best. And, you know, we're all going to hold that opinion with blue tinted glasses held on our faces. But sometimes you've got to admit that sometimes at Fratton Park, if things aren't going quite so well, the atmosphere can take quite a bit of a turn for the worst.
No, very much so. And we will talk about how brilliant Fratton Park is.
And I'm not saying that's
so
right
close
or wrong, but it does happen.
It does happen. You're right. I mean, with Fratton Park being so close to the pitch, all of the stands being so close, it people talk about creating that hostile atmosphere for opposition players, and I think it does do that really well. I mean, I sit right at the front, and you do opposition players do get scared, but at the same time, I think it does depend on the Pompey player. You look at a player like Curtis, who's got that little bit of energy, that bit of a character. Sometimes that negativity can spur them on, but other players in the team who perhaps the kind of players I could describe as, you know, need an arm over the shoulder kind of players, the players that need just that little bit of extra support as opposed to criticism to kick on and do well. But at the same time, I look at the game Saturday. I do believe, had we had the fans in there for that last 20 minutes when we did start to get in Shrewsbury's faces, I think we would have had a much better chance of scoring and nicking a 1-0, maybe even a 2-0 win like we did last season, because it felt like a similar game to last season, but we scored two goals in the last 20 minutes and won it. So I think it's a question that we'll never really know the answer to, even if fans do come back. It's so tough, but I think it very much depends on the atmosphere and the player, really.
Yeah. An email here from Graham Wilkins, who got in contact with the show on Saturday evening. I think we were kind of wrapping up to the show on Saturday. I don't think we managed to get your email read out, Graham, but if you're listening, we'll discuss it now on the Footblower. He says, "Good evening, gents. Unfortunately, it wasn't good enough, although Kenny will probably be pleased with the outcome. Why or why was Harrison left on the bench when we needed a goal? Morris was playing well, and although he had been booked, he should have stayed on. Watmore was my man of the match, and McGilvery made a wonderful save with Watmore there to head it off the line. Still unbeaten at home, though we should be doing better. Okay, next, an easy cup game, then away at the bottom club, Rochdale, where our season kicks off in earnest." Thank you, Graham, for your thoughts from Saturday evening. Just want to point out as well, Graham, I don't know if you did hear the interview with the manager, Kenny Jackett, after the game, but he did reveal that Bryn Morris was taken off due to a slight knock on his hip, therefore he was replaced with Ben Close. So I think that may be the thinking behind that substitution and why Ellis Harrison, unfortunately, was left on the bench. That one sort of playing out the gaffer's hands there. But I do want to mention what he has then pointed out, Ivan, later in the email, about Craig McGilvery making a wonderful save late on. The Shrewsbury corner came in. It was failed to be cleared as far as, you know, Pompey's 18-yard box. The striker had an attempt on goal. It was a ferocious shot from quite close range as well. And Craig McGilvery absolutely pounced on it to tip it back over the bar. And he's impressed me, and I think he's impressed quite a lot of Pompey fans since he's made his return to the first team at half-time at Stevenage. And I think this could be really the making of him this season at the club.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, to be honest, mate. I think the main criticism people had of him last season when he was playing, it wasn't really his ability. It was how much how vocal he was and how much he'd command his own box. And I think he has improved on that as well. I look at him and I don't know whether it's the fact that, you know, there's no fans there as well, but he looks a lot more vocal as well. And I think that confidence is needed for a new back four to kind of gel as well. But yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. He saved us massively there.
Yeah. And something we haven't pointed out yet, Alex, and it feels almost criminal over half an hour into the show, so I do apologise to him if he is listening. I pretty much doubt he is, but Jack Watmore making his 100th appearance for the club on Saturday, and absolutely fair play to the lad, because that's quite the remarkable achievement for any player, especially at your boyhood club, and taking into consideration the amount of long-term injuries he has had. And we're all delighted for him that he's made his century. Do you kind of stand with me in the thinking that maybe no one really expected that he would actually make it?
I mean, it's so tough. I mean,
we're glad
he's the sort of player that came through in the early days of, you know, of fan ownership and things like that, before we were able to be sort of financially competitive. I think he's mentally is just unbelievable strength to have three or four really serious long-term injuries and to keep coming back. And I can't really remember a time where I thought that he's been a really bad player. But like you say, I think people don't think he, you know, wouldn't have made it because of his quality. I think it has just been those injuries. I think without those injuries, I mean, he could be playing at potentially even a higher level than Pompey are now. I mean, he certainly had the potential, and you do wonder what if. But I think at the moment, the quality he's got, if he can stay fit, I mean, he was my man of the match, you know, arguably between him and McGilvery for the game on Saturday. But it's very tough for a manager to be able to rely on a player that's had those sorts of injuries. And if he were to then have another long-term injury and he's out for a season, how can you be reliant on that? So he has to take he has to take ownership of that, and he has to take that position in the team where he says, okay, I'm playing, but I can't rely on this, on the manager to keep 100% faith in me and not look for another player to come in and be competitive, which I think a lot of Pompey fans would like at this stage because of the injuries. But I mean, yeah, he's been sensational mentally, and I think all of us are just hoping and praying he stays fit because I think he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, and you can't help but feel, Ivan, as well, that as a Pompey fan, every time you read the words on Twitter for a club statement that Jack Watmore had injured himself again and that he was out for a prolonged period of time throughout the season, which has happened so often over the last few years, you couldn't help but feel that could that be the last time? Could that be the last time before he, you know, he packs it in and decides to call it a day? Because as Alex mentioned, it's been three or four occasions now where I think it's that knee of his has really played a part in telling where his football career has gone. But do you feel that had Jack Watmore not had these injuries and, you know, continued as he, you know, was progressing since the start of those League Two days back, what, 6-7 years ago now, he would definitely be playing at a higher level than Pompey?
Oh, absolutely. Alex is dead right, by the way. Yeah, his tenacity to even get back where he has after so many injuries is brilliant. But yeah, no, you're right. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was playing for England's youth setup, wasn't he? Under 19 or 18 level or something. So yeah, he's a fantastic player, and I think you're right. When he plays, you really do see his quality, and credit to him, because some players have to play a few games to sort of get back into it, especially, you know, someone like him. But he doesn't. He seems to slot into that whatever back four it is. And let's be honest, he's missed so many games. You know, he's barely played with a lot of these players as well.
Yeah.
Although he's been there for ages. But yeah, no, he's a fantastic player. Let's just all hope that he can stay fit, because I think if he doesn't, that's a huge, huge problem for us.
Yeah. Do you feel Jack Watmore now, Alex, you know, taking all that we've said so far into consideration, assuming that he does not pick up another one of those horrible injuries, which we're all crossing our fingers and our toes, but he doesn't. Do you think that he is now Pompey's first choice in that centre-back role? We've had Matt Clark in previous seasons. The baton then changed to Christian Burgess. Do you now think that Jack Watmore is ready to step up to the plate and be that authoritative figure at the back?
I think so. I think, I mean, like I say, I don't think Pompey fans would necessarily be asking for another centre-back signing from the club if it wasn't for the injuries, because I don't think there's many Pompey fans that really doubt the quality that Watmore's got. I think you perhaps be doing a disservice to Sean Raggett, who I think's performed well after perhaps a tricky start at Pompey.
Yeah.
I think you'd be in disservice to say that Watmore would be the main centre-back. But certainly at the moment, and even if you were to bring in another centre-back as backup, they're certainly the best pairing in my eyes. And I certainly think they're a pairing that is worthy of, let's say, a top six club in League One. And Watmore, if he's fit and he's playing well, yeah, he would be one of the first names on the team sheet for me. So I think you're 100% right. He definitely, whether he's the main centre back, he's certainly one half of the main pairing in my eyes.
Yeah, we've got a text in from Mo. Good evening, Mo. Thanks for getting in touch. He says, "Hi, Jake. I still think we need a centre back, and then we'll be good to go." Good show. Thank you to Mo for getting in touch there. Harry Soutar has been mentioned as one of the names rumoured to be close to joining Pompey, but he was an unused sub for Stoke at the weekend in the Championship, Ivan. His performances at Fleetwood last season were telling, and into the fact that he is a top-quality centre-back at this level. Do you agree with the point made in that text that Pompey do need just one more centre-back to really push on and assert ourselves as automatic promotion contenders?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And, you know, as we said earlier, nobody would be shouting out as much about it if Watmore didn't have these fitness concerns. Mm. But, yeah, I think, to be honest with you, having four centre-backs to rotate anyway is good. I mean, we're currently on three, so regardless of Watmore's injury status, I'd still get one in the door regardless, as I would with a central midfielder, you know, if men sort of two in that formation. So, yeah, I would definitely go along with that.
Yeah. We've got an email here from Mr. Fletcher. He says I'm Alex Fletcher's brother. And he has a question for you, Alex, about the new signing. He's known for picking up the ball in dead ball situations and capitalising on them and creating a chance for those areas. Do you, Alex, think that he will carry on that those aspects in Kenny's formation?
I think so. I hope, as long as Jackett plays him in the right way, I think that's kind of the that's kind of the elements. Oh, sorry, I'm really struggling to keep a straight face because he's in the next room sending this message, by the way. Yeah, I might as well just shout it to him, to be honest with you. But no, I certainly think he can.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Pompey fans will be asking that question. He's all down, really. He's clearly got the quality. You've seen it when he's played at Wigan. I think it's a case of... I think it really is a case of whether or not Jacket utilises him properly. I think it's the same story with a lot of players.
Another text in from Jill in Northend in Portsmouth. Good evening, Jill. Great to hear from you once again. She says, welcome back, team. I do still think Pompey need a striker like Toddy. She also goes on to say, how is Knightsey? Well, Knightsey's good. I've been in contact with him. Haven't heard from him over the last week or so. But no, Knightsey's good, Jill. And he's looking forward to returning back to Fratton Park once he can do so. In regards to your question, do Pompey still need a striker like Toddy back in his day, Ivan? Is that a fair comment? Is that a position in which Pompey are really looking to improve on right now? Or are there other positions which are of more importance at the moment?
No, I personally think we're okay up top. I mean, I think Harrison has got for John Marcus is good. And I think the games Rico Hackett-Fairchild's played in, he's actually looked really positive as well. So, there's definitely other positions I'd fill. But it's a good point. I mean, I don't think the problem is necessarily the strikers up top. I feel like it's more the service. So if we fix that, and hopefully with Jacobs coming in, we have... We'll start to see some goals, because that would be nice.
We got a text in as well from Mark. He says, don't understand all the doom and gloom. Kenny always delivers on the budget, so we'll at least be in the playoffs. I'm not disagreeing with you, Mark, but is the playoffs really now something that we'd be excited to be finishing in, or do we kind of feel that after a few seasons now that we need to be pushing on and really staking a claim in the top two and actually pushing on to actually win promotion rather than just settling for the playoffs? It's a good point, Mark, and you are totally correct. And there is no doom and gloom around Pompey. Of course, Saturday's game against Shrewsbury was quite a boring one. You know, I'll happily admit that. But, you know, there are a lot of positive signs, Mark, and this is going to be a long season, and I think it's going to be quite an interesting one. I do think Pompey will be a lot closer to promotion than they have been in the last two campaigns, what with Charlton, Wigan and Hull going through their own off-field issues as well. I'm looking forward to it, Mark, and I do think that, you know, if we do finish at least in the playoffs, that would still be considered a relative success, maybe, Alex, you know, in regards to the plan that the owners have put in place. Into it's a five-year waiting period for Pompey to get into the Championship. I think we're entering our fourth now, so we are still on track with that. And a playoff campaign wouldn't necessarily be a failure, but I think for Pompey fans who do, and I think rightfully expect rather instant success, we just want that little bit more, that little bit extra.
I think every fan wants to, I think everyone wants obviously to get into the top two, because it's you know, as stress-free as football can be, it's the stress-free option. Then playoffs is, I'm only 20 and I've seen Pompey in three playoffs now, and we've lost every single one of them, and it is stressful, and it isn't nice to have to watch. But if you do get it right, which obviously Pompey never have, but there's always a time to break that duck. You know, there's always a time that you've got to break it at some point. You know, if you can get it, I think that can make it all the more special, especially if, I mean, at the moment, obviously not, but if fans are all at Wembley seeing promotion in a playoff, that's the ultimate prize. It's so special for the fans. I think fans just want promotion. If that has to come through the playoffs, fine, but I don't blame fans for being sceptical because of our previous playoff appearances. So promotion is the end game. I do think this, in my opinion, I think this will probably be Kenny Jackett's last chance. I think if you're looking at a five-year plan, it going into the fifth year on the back of, if it was three consecutive failed promotions, you'd have to try and maybe shake things up. But we'll see. It's a long season to come, and getting up is getting up. It doesn't matter how you do it.
No. Okay, lads, thank you again. We're going to head to another break because we are fast approaching 7 o'clock now. We've got quite an important game to preview in just a few moments' time. So we are going to quickly pop off for that short break now, and after which we will be turning our attention fully to this week's League Cup tie, Brighton. Keep those text, tweets and emails coming in, Pompey fans. We're now looking for your score predictions ahead of Thursday night's game 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. It's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, at expressfm if you're on Twitter, and facebook.com/PompeyLive if you'd prefer to get in touch on there. So join myself, Ivan and Alex in just a few moments' time for part three of this Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
For the very last time tonight, welcome back to the show, which is once again this season supported by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses, the cheapest and most reliable bus service covering Portsmouth and the surrounding areas. It's the turn of the Carabao Cup this week. Pompey travelled just 50 miles east to take on one of their south coast neighbours in round two of the competition. Here now with a closer look at this week's opponents is none other than Mason Jordan.
It's back to action in the Carabao Cup for the Blues this week in a match which has been moved to a Thursday night due to Pompey's opponents playing on Monday night against Chelsea. After defending Stevenage on penalties in round one, Pompey have been rewarded with a round two victory to Brighton and Hove Albion.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Kenny Jackett takes his League One promotion contenders 51 miles east to the Amex Stadium for the next challenge in the League Cup, where Brighton await. The last time these two sides met was back in March of 2012, when the Seagulls took all 3 points in Farmer with a 2-0 victory over Pompey in the Championship. Back when the Blues had the likes of Joel Ward, Ricardo Rocha and David Norris in the squad. Brighton are of course favourites to take this tie in advance. You'd have to go way back to the 31st of August 2002 to find the last time Pompey were victorious over this week's opponents. The Blues won that game by 4-2 at Fratton Park, with Matt Taylor, Paul Merson, Svetislav Todorov and Jason Crowe all on the score sheet.
Manager:
Solly Holborn, former Birmingham, West Brom and York City left-back Graham Potter has been in charge of the club since May 2019 when he signed a 4-year contract. The 45-year-old made his managerial breakthrough in Sweden, leading Östersunds for 8 years between 2010 and 2018 before a move back to English football with Swansea City. Potter began to earn his plaudits in Sweden after he guided his team to successive promotion in his first 2 seasons in charge, an achievement which also bagged him a 3-year contract. Soon after, in 2015, he led them to a second-place finish in the second division, thus winning promotion to the top flight for the first time in the club's history. In 2017, the Englishman won the Swedish equivalent of the FA Cup, granting his side a place in the second round of qualifying for the UEFA Europa League. During their qualifying campaign, Östersunds defeated well-known European sides like Galatasaray and PAOK to reach the group stages of the main tournament. Östersunds finished second in their group level on points with Atletico Bilbao and set up a knockout tie with Arsenal. Despite beating the Gunners 2-1 at the Emirates Stadium, the side were knocked out by an aggregate scoreline of 4-2.
One to watch.
As always is the case in these types of matches, when Premier League sides take on teams from lower divisions, it's anyone guess as to who the top flight manager is going to pick to play. Assuming that Graham Potter picks as strong a team as he can, our player to look out for would be Iranian winger Alreza Yanhabac, who wears the number 16 shirt for the Seagulls. Yanhabac made his career breakthrough whilst playing in the Netherlands, establishing himself as an up-and-coming dangerous attacking midfielder, playing for both NEC Nijmegen and AZ Alkmaar. The 27-year-old has scored twice in 27 competitive appearances since signing for Brighton in the summer of 2018.
Top scorer:
Graham Potter's side have yet to play a game in either league or cup this season, so have yet to establish a top scorer. Instead, we'll mention the Seagulls' top scorer from last term, which was a French striker, Neil Morphy, who netted 10 times in league and cup in 2019-20. The 24-year-old, who has the squad number 9, linked up with the club in August of 2019, having impressed at championship outfit Brentford, where he scored 37 goals in 85 games.
Current form:
as previously mentioned, the side yet to play a match this season. They kick off their Premier League campaign by hosting Chelsea at the Amex Stadium later this evening. Last time out, the Seagulls finished 15th in the top flight, reaching the third round of the Carabao Cup, having entered in the second and were knocked out of the FA Cup at the first hurdle. Will it be an expected result on the Brighton coast, or can Pompey pull off one of the shocks of the round? ground? Find out by tuning in and catching all the unmissable action this Thursday evening from 7 on Pompey Live.
And right there was an extensive look at the threat set to be posed by the Seagulls on Thursday night. That game, of course, moved to Thursday as a result of Brighton's Premier League opener being pushed back to tonight. They take on Chelsea at the Amex Stadium at 8:15. So we're unable, and understandably so, to be expected to field an 11 less than 24 hours later when the majority of the other second round ties take place, of course, tomorrow night. Because of this, not that it really matters too much for Blues fans, with supporters still unable to attend matches, the league trip to Rochdale will now be played on Sunday of this week instead of on Saturday. Don't forget, you can catch all of the unmissable action of that cup tie with Brighton live and as it unfolds from 7 o'clock on Thursday night right here on Express FM, and of course I follow Pompey as well. A few more text tweets and emails to read out before we do head off in a few moments' time. One here, there's a text in, no name, but it says, good evening. I think Jacobs is a really good signing, and hopefully if we sign a centre-back, we'll be pushing for playoffs at the minimum. Thank you to whoever sent that one in. Please don't forget to add your name at the end next time. Mockers on Twitter says, I'm convinced that Jack Watmore would already be playing at the Championship level, but for terrible luck with injuries, and that we would have gone up with him alongside Matt Clark. He has to be the first name on the team sheet for me. Thank you to Mockers on Twitter. An email from Chris in Bergamo, Italy. Reasons to be cheerful. He says, hi guys from sunny Italy. Good news on the signing, of course. Saturday was turgid, lacklustre, etc. However, it was great to see Jack Watmore playing, and his skill, awareness and impact were notable. I made him my man of the match easily. I would advise Kenny to study what Bielsa has done at Leeds and high energy revolutionise them and insist on improvement and more with intensive training. Kenny is totally safe this season, so as long as we don't get relegated. But Kenny, man, give us players with ants in their pants, please, says Chris in Italy. Thank you to Chris. Great to hear from you as well. A few more comments on Facebook, which I'm going to read out. Paul O'Neill says, a good performance will do, as a result doesn't really matter. Jack Watmore staying fit will be like having a high-class signing, as when fit, he is like having a top-class Championship defender at the very least. Sorry, we're selling Christmas stuff at work now. It's completely frazzled my brain. As in regards to what Paul said, a good performance will do. Result doesn't really matter. I think he's looking forward to the Thursday night game with Brighton, not Saturday's game with Shrewsbury. I'd hope not, anyway. So, a few days' time, lads. Round two of the Carabao Cup. We've not really got long left tonight. But, Ivan, it's a chance for Pompey to put themselves on the stage, on telly as well, against Premier League opposition. It's not a derby. It's just simply against a Premier League team who have some top quality names in their squad. I think we're all expecting a defeat, but would you be happy in Pompey going out, performing well, showing that they're committed and caring and you know, passionate to the cause, and bowing out with their heads held high? Is that all we can really, you know, expect?
First of all, you're absolutely right in pointing out it is definitely not a derby.
Definitely not a derby. There are no derbies.
we're not. What's in a positive way, what's great is we're not expected to win here. So I think if we go out, and there's no reason why we shouldn't just play some attacking fluid football. There's no, you know, we don't have to sit back. We're not favourites. They're supposed to attack us. We know that. I just think the majority of us fans will be happy if we give them a good game, really.
Yeah, and it's those kind of games, Alex, where Pompey aren't favourites, but they tend to sometimes play the better football. There's no risk involved. There's more of a chance for the players to do really what they want and allow themselves to go forward and really express themselves on the pitch, and knowing that if mistakes are made, then it's a game of which they can learn upon, and they can not worry about, as you know, a few comments have come in saying the result doesn't matter. As long as the performance and the work ethic is there to look ahead to Sunday's game at Rochdale, then that's all the positives we can really take for the game. If we can snatch it and advance to the third round and beat Brighton on their home turf, then that would be superb and that would be such a bonus. But yeah, is it really the performance to you as well that matters the most?
Yeah, I think that's all you can really hope for in these kinds of games. It is a free hit. And I think the funny thing is that since we've had Kenny Jackett as manager, you look at especially last year with the cup runs we've had, not just in the the EFL Trophy, but in the FA Cup and League Cup as well. We've performed well against teams in the Championship and in the Premier League. And I think that's because we have the confidence to, because like you say, it is a free hit. There's not too much riding on it. It is important for the players to express themselves, and it's important for them to try and get themselves into the team for the upcoming game the weekend normally. So I think, yeah, they're right in saying that it is about the performance. If the result comes with it, it's great. It's a bonus. I don't think we'll disgrace ourselves. I don't think we've really disgraced ourselves against any opposition that's been in leagues above us in the last few years, really, when we've played them.
Yeah.
And if you can nick a win, it's brilliant. It's just such a shame that kind of game, you're not going to be able to have fans soon. Yeah. Because I must admit, as a fan myself, I would be really looking forward to that kind of game. But it is what it is, and we'll all get to watch it from the comfort of our homes.
100%. And just one more texting coming in. Liam Howes says, Jack Watmore is a great December. Yeah, thanks, Liam. I made a mistake. And Liam, get me back there. I always nudge him. Well, I can't anymore, socially distanced, of course, but I always point out his mistakes on Pompey Live. So, yeah, he's got me back on that one. Jack Watmore is a great December. Right,
he wasn't going to let that slide, was he?
No, not at all. Liam doesn't let anything slide. But let's take a look at some of these score predictions we've got flooding into us this evening. Thank you, by the way, to everybody who did get in touch. Steve Farmer says it depends on what side we put out. If it's a strong one, 4-0 to them. If a weakened side, 2-0. Either way, we're going to lose. Terry Golding says Brighton to win 2-1. Got a few more as well. Stu Madgwick says 4-1. James Lister says 3-0. I think these are all defeats, by the way. Marcus Deacon says 4-0 defeat. Mike Edwards also says 4-0 defeat. Wayne Smith says if we play the same way as we did Saturday, it could be very embarrassing. He's going for 5-1, says Wayne. So those were the thoughts of Pompey fans back home, lads. But how are you both feeling ahead of Thursday's cup tie? Ivan, a score prediction, if you could, please.
Well, just going on that, at least 5-1, at least he's saying we score. Let's look at the positives there. I'm going to say 3-1 to Brighton.
3-1 to Brighton, says Ivan. Yourself, Alex?
I don't sound controversial, but I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going to think we're going to nick it right at the end, 2-1 Pompey.
Brilliant. 3-1 to Ivan. Alex says 2-1 to Pompey. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for joining me this evening. It's been great to hear your voices again. I'm going to go for a very optimistic 2-2 draw. I'd say that's fair. I think we're more than capable of scoring twice at the Amex against the Premier League side and nicking something. Okay, well, there you have it, Ben. That draws another episode of the Express FM Football Hour to a close. I'd like to thank each and every one of you back home for tuning in, and of course Ivan Prothero, Alex Fletcher, for taking the time to chat to us over the phone. I hope you've enjoyed what has been a very busy 60 minutes. Take care, lads, and we'll hope to hear from you again soon. Okay,
cheers, Jack.
Pleasure as always, lads. Coming up on the station for the rest of your Monday night, then, Dan Ogus returns with folk, blues and roots music between 9 and 11pm before Non-Stop Express. Nothing but great music through till the morning when Mason Jordan wakes you up with Express Breakfast from 7am. Before all of that, the lovable duo are back. Jeff and Adrian follow me right after the news at 7 with the Soft Rock Show. That's it in terms of football for now, but rest assured, we'll be back on Thursday evening. Do it all over again. We'll be back on air from 7 o'clock for that one. Pompey Live kickoff in East Sussex is 7:45, and we hope you can join us for that one. We're looking forward to it. Until then, stay safe and play out Pompey. Good night.